all concepts, you take any concepts, you will find Sri Aurobindo writing one line that existence is not only one of the things that can be conceived, but existence is the only thing that can be conceived. There is a distinction between the two statements. Existence is not one of the several things which can be conceived, but existence is the only thing that can be conceived. In other words, the content of all the concepts, you take any concepts, one fundamental thing that must be in the concept is existence. It may have something else, but this element is the one common element in all the concepts. Now this is a statement which I am making, which will require rethinking and rethinking and rethinking. It's an argument which very often makes you a kind of, gives you a sense of surprise, particularly when you again will think about nothing exists and that existence is the only thing that can be conceived. These two statements you keep in your consciousness, and it is by repeated reflection on this that you can arrive at a true understanding. If you like to sit here, you come here, huh? Instead of being so far. So you reflect on these two statements, nothing exists, and existence is not only one of the things that can be conceived, but is the only thing that can be conceived. You might say that this statement is the heart and soul of this chapter number 9. Only this statement. If you ask a question rationally, as I told you, we are at present in the field of the intellectual rational thinking. So, in the field of rationality, the one thing that reason, as soon as it tries to conceive, it does only one thing, the conception of existence. You can come here. There is a concept of existence. I'll repeat for your sake what I have told just now, but in a different manner, at the right time, so you will not miss it. Now let us consider what is existence. The first statement you made was the only thing that can be conceived is existence. Now we analyze further and ask ourselves, let us try to clarify to ourselves what is existence. Now to understand this concept of existence, I will give you a story of a debate which has been going on in the history of thought regarding the proof of the existence of God. The debate is about existence of God. Therefore, there is naturally the debate on the question of existence. So this is one of the best ways of understanding the contents of the idea of existence. This question was very important in the West, also in the East. Both in the West and the East, all people who have been concerned about intellectual development have raised this question, can you intellectually prove the existence of God? This is the question which has been raised both in the East and the West. Can you intellectually prove the existence of God? Now it is true that many people have claimed that you can experience God, you can see God face to face, you can talk to Him, you can come into contact with Him, you can feel Him. But many people say, well, that may be possible for some mystics and some very advanced spiritual people, But when we are not in that stage, is it still possible for us to be sure that God exists? When you have experience of God, of course you will never doubt it. There is no question about it. But we who do not have that experience, can we have at all this experience, at least at the intellectual level, so that we can be sure that God exists? Now this question is very important, because in India at least there was a very strong view that even those people who are at the lower level of consciousness and for whom the travel to spiritual experience is a very long work of travel, it is very useful if they simply hear the sentence, God exists. If simply they hear the word, simply these two words, God exists, it makes all the difference to life. We are hearing. Once you hear that God exists, you can no more be what you were before hearing this sentence. Because once you hear this statement, you have to react to it. This is what happens always. When you hear something, you react to it. When you react, you have to ask whether what you heard is right or wrong. Now, to prove that it is wrong is very difficult. To prove that it is right is also very difficult. Because God, who is mentioned in that statement, is supposed to be invisible. If it was God was something which can be seen, the question can be settled very soon after hearing it. You take somebody to that thing and show, here it is, and the matter is over. But God being invisible, how do you deal with this statement, God exists? You just hear it simply. Do no other exercise of spiritual development, intellectual development, nothing. You just hear the words, God exists. And the moment you hear these words, immediately there has to be a reaction. And the reaction is to show whether it is true or it is not true. And since God is invisible, it is very difficult to either to show that it is true or to show it is not true. And the moment this question arises in your mind, even if you do not like, you are tied up with God, because you have got to deal with this statement. All the time the consciousness will go on asking, is it true? Is it not true? How to know whether it is true or not? In other words, your consciousness gets oriented towards God. Now those who have experience of God, they feel that the one of the ways of helping people who are at the lower level of consciousness is to orient them towards God in some way or the other. Because even orientation, the once you are oriented means you have a direction. Normally all human beings are moving without direction, helter skelter, they do not know where to move. In that condition, at least one thing by which the human beings can be oriented towards God, about whom they are sure God exists. So for them there is no problem, but for those who are moving helter-skelter in this world, if they are to be oriented, then they found out that this is one of the best ways of orienting them towards God. To just simply say God exists. This is what is called Shruti.